Translation: for instance, some of the wives of the brahmanas who were performing sacrifices gave up their lives in the presence of their husbands for the sake of Krishna. Purport. This refers to the day Lord Sri Krishna and his cowherd boys and flocks of animals were present in the pasturing grounds near Mathura. At that time, the cowherd boys, being a little hungry, requested food, and Lord Krishna asked them to go to the brahmanas who were engaged nearby in performing yajna or sacrifice, and to get some food from that yajna. Being so ordered by the Lord, all the cowherd boys went to the brahmanas and asked them for food, but they were denied. After this, the cowherd boys begged food from the wives of the brahmanas. All these wives were very much devoted to Lord Krishna in spontaneous love, and as soon as they heard the request of the cowherd boys and understood that Krishna wanted some food, they immediately left the place of sacrifice. They were very much chastised for this by their husbands, and they were ready to give up their lives. It is the nature of a pure devotee to sacrifice his life for the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So here we know this famous pastime. Krishna and the cowherd boys were hungry, so they went to the yogic brahmanas and they asked for some food. And the yogic brahmanas, what to speak of even refusing them, they didn't even pay heed to them. They basically ignored them. And then Krishna told the cowherd boys to go to the wives. And the wives, they were ready. They were ready not just to give food, they were ready to give all their belongings. Not just their belongings, they were ready to give up their own lives. They actually were ready to run away from everything. And even though their husbands forbade them to leave the house, they left. And in that sense, it could be said they gave up their lives, because they gave up their chastity, they gave up their reputation, they gave up their security, their stability, their safety. They sacrificed everything. They put it all on the line to go and see Krishna. And Prabhupada says, this is the nature of a pure devotee, that they're willing to sacrifice their life for the Lord. That's a big statement. I remember 1 month before His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj was leaving the world, we were with him in Vrindavan. And then one morning I was with him in the front room and he started talking about guns. So I thought, oh my God, so he started talking all about different types of guns, revolvers, Berettas, AK-47s, handguns, shotguns, pistols. So I was thinking, wow, this is interesting. I'm in Vrindavan with my spiritual master on this fine sunny morning, and we're talking about guns. And then it got even more interesting because he started talking about shootings and how people do shootings. Then he started talking about drive-bys and how you do a drive-by. And then I said, Maharaj, how do you know all this stuff? And he said, because they were trying to kill me. He said, I had to research all of this. Because I spoke out to protect Prabhupada's movement, they were trying to kill me. And he said, I knew someone was going to try and shoot me. So I had to do all this research. And of course, we know that Maharaj did get shot. And he said, that's what it takes. You have to be willing, whatever it takes, to serve Krishna. So when Prabhupada says a pure devotee is willing to put their life on the line for Krishna, it's not just some flowery language. This is going on. Devotees do this. You can read this incredible book called A Legacy of Love. And it's all about a great Vaishnavi called Ladini Mataji, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. She lived her life in Vrindavan, New Vrindavan. And then at one point, She went to perhaps one of the hardest places in the world to expand Prabhupada's movement. She went to West Africa. I went to West Africa for 2 weeks. I was like, okay, happy to be back in London. It's not an easy place. So in the late 80s, she decided to go to West Africa of all places to spread Krishna consciousness. And even when you go West Africa, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. After all good things you have to wait for. So even when you go West Africa, there's different gradations of place you can go in West Africa. And they get progressively more and more hostile, more and more difficult, more and more risky to preach Krishna consciousness in. So as she was traveling through West Africa, then she came to Liberia. And in Liberia, there was basically a civil war going on. At one point, a civil war broke out. So the devotees were in the temple. She was an American citizen. She was there. And a civil war broke out. Warlords basically killing people wholesale, indiscriminately, in the most merciless ways. And at one point, a warning went out that all American citizens should immediately leave the country. So she writes, actually, in the book you can see, she writes a letter to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And she says, I won't leave, I'll serve the devotees here. They've sacrificed everything to try and establish Krishna consciousness here. So how can I leave them? I should also assist. So she continued on. The killing continued in Liberia. The civil war became more and more intense. And at a certain point, the devotees wrote a letter to one of the warlords, encouraging him not to engage in such terrible violence. Anyway, somehow or other, he didn't respond to that too well. And one morning, the army raided the temple. There were 7 devotees there. They round them up into a van, took them to a bridge, and then lined them up, shooting. But just before they lined up all the devotees, they said, we'll only shoot the men. We'll let the ladies live. So as they were about to shoot the first man, the first devotee, Ladini stepped forward. And she said, how can you do this to Krishna's devotees? And she started with her own hands attacking the gunman. And she was the first to be shot. And she lost her life in protecting the Vaishnavas. So you can read all about this in her book, A Legacy of Love. So love is not just a flowery thing. Love means the willingness to put everything on the line. Sometimes people talk about gopi bhav in a very, very flowery and esoteric way. But what does gopi bhav actually mean? That the gopis were fearless. The gopis were ready to leave everything behind. The gopis were willing to give everything, their entire life for Krishna. This is actually gopi bhav, the essence of gopi bhav. Not just some descriptions of esoteric interactions. Gopi bhav means this deep conviction to give one's very self to Krishna. One devotee was giving class in Vrindavan and he was talking about gopi bhav, and he said, gopi bhav, gopi bhav. You want to know what gopi bhav is? Gopi bhav means at 70 years old, you get on a ship, you have 2 heart attacks, you come to a country where you know no one, and you step out of the ship, and with kartals you go under a tree and you start chanting Hare Krishna to benefit the people. That's gopi bhav. That complete willingness to give one's life. So here, Srila Prabhupada is saying, it's the nature of a pure devotee to sacrifice his life for the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Bhagavatam confirms this. Etava janma safalyam dehinam ihadehishu praner arte dhiya vacha shreya charanam sada. If you want to make your janma safalyam, if you want to make your birth fruitful, if you want to make your birth perfected in what is actually meant for, then you have four things at your disposal. Artha, wealth, give it to Krishna. Dhiya, your intelligence, your abilities, your aptitudes, give it to Krishna. Vacha, your words, your ability to speak and to actually communicate and reach someone's heart, use that for Krishna. And prana, your very life. You can put your life on the line for Krishna if you're ready. Or if you can't put your life on the line for Krishna, the other thing you can do is you can use your life energy. And the more one's life energy is used for Krishna, the more one invests their effort, their endeavor, their this power, this vitality that they've been given for Krishna, then one's life becomes more and more glorious. So the wives of the yagyic brahmanas, they were ready here. Chadi leka pran. They were ready to give up their whole pran. That's what made them so glorious. It's interesting, this pastime is in the 23rd chapter of the 10th canto. And it's very interesting, in the 22nd chapter, Krishna and the cowherd boys go out into the forest of Vrindavan, and Krishna is underneath a tree. And Krishna starts looking at the tree, and then he recites a very beautiful verse. Aho esham varam janma sarva prani upajivinam sujanasya vaye samvai vimukha yanti narthina. Krishna looks at the tree and he says, Aho esham varam janma. Oh, just look at this tree. Such a glorious birth. Why? Sarva prani upajivinam. This word comes again, prana. Because every part of its being is used for the benefit of others. Sarva prani upajivinam. Su janasyeva ye samvai. No one ever comes to a tree and returns disappointed. The tree gives them whatever they're looking for. And in this way, Krishna said, just look at these trees. What an amazing life. And it's funny, Krishna says this in the second chapter because it's almost like he's predicting what will happen in the next chapter. Because he's saying, just look at these trees. They're so incredible. Whenever you come to them, they give you what you want and you never go away disappointed. And what happens in the very next chapter? Krishna sends the cowherd boys to the brahmanas. And what happens is they don't give what Krishna wants, and the cowherd boys go away disappointed. So Krishna is also an astrologer. He knows what's going to happen. So this is the glory. And then what happens is that when we see their example of not giving and not giving their prana, then again we get an example of the Vedic, the wives of the Vedic yogic brahmanas who then do give their lives. They're ready. Actually, I was a little confused by this when I read it, because here in the translation it says that the wives of the brahmanas gave up their lives in the presence of their husbands for the sake of Krishna. But when you actually read this pastime, you don't really hear about that they give up their lives. What you actually hear about is that Krishna goes and tells the cowherd boys to go to the ladies. The ladies hear Krishna and the cowherd boys are hungry. And then what they do is they leave their homes to go and deliver everything to Krishna. We don't really hear about them leaving their bodies. But actually it's explained in the verses that there's one of the wives of the yagyic brahmanas who couldn't leave. She couldn't leave home to actually deliver what Krishna and the cowherd boys wanted, and she left her body out of separation. So actually, she did leave her body out of separation. So that's death by separation. The world doesn't know about that one. Death by disease, we know. Death by accident, we know. Death by choice, suicide, we know. But Vedic scriptures introduce us to the concept of death by separation. That someone's separation becomes so acute that they can't maintain their life. In the world, they have a concept of being lovesick. If you really love someone and you can't be with them, then you become lovesick. But imagine you become so lovesick that you die. That's actually Vaishnav separation. And so, you see this, Lakshmi Priya, she died out of separation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagannath Mishra said that he died out of impending separation, that Mahaprabhu may leave. My other son, Vishwarup, has left. Maybe Mahaprabhu will leave. And the thought that Mahaprabhu may leave, even that was enough to cause him to leave his body. So like this, very, very deep relationship. So here, Prataparudra, he's ready to give up his life. Jadi se Mahaprabhur napai kripadhan kibaraja kibadeha sabayakaran. It's explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Maharaj Prataparudra's mental state. Jadi se Mahaprabhur napai kripadhan. If I don't get the wealth of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, kiba rajya, what's the point of my kingdom? Kiba deha, what's the point of my body? Sabaya karan, it's all useless, it's all inconsequential. I may as well just give it all up. And so here in these verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, what we're absorbing is the deep dedication, the deep desire, the deep desperation of Maharaj Prataparudra to see the Supreme Lord. This is the only price. Tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukratena labhyate. There's no other price. Nothing else will bring one face to face with the Supreme Lord save and except that deep desperation, that deep desire. When it becomes so acute that everything else in one's life becomes just inconsequential and unimportant. Only when there's that level of focus, only when there's that level of vyavasayatmika buddhi, can one really then penetrate the Lord's heart. So one's devotion almost has to become like that. It has to become like a laser. So one-pointed that laser, so concentrated in one line, can penetrate even that which is very, very difficult to get through. And so Krishna doesn't allow his heart to be penetrated easily. Sudurlabha. Rupa Goswami explains what are the characteristics of bhakti. Kleshagni shubada moksha lagutakrit sudurlabha sandrananda visheshatma shri krishna karshini chasa. He says there are six characteristics of bhakti, and one of them is sudurlabha. It's not easily attained. Krishna doesn't give himself so easily, because when he gives himself, then he becomes completely under the control. And here in the verse before, it's already predicted. Although you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are completely independent, still you are dependent on the love and affection of your devotees. That is your nature. So Krishna says, I'm not independent, I become controlled. Aham bhakta paradhino hyashvantandra ivadvija sadubir grishta ridayo. Krishna says, ashvatantra, I'm not independent. When my devotees are ready to give everything to me, then I become dependent on them. So Maharaj Patraparudra has that laser focus kind of devotion. And as we read these chapters 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and you look at all of his characteristics, then we understand this is the nature of intense devotional service. Because the problem is not that devotees are not doing devotional service, the problem is that perhaps our devotional service is very casual. And therefore the difference between casual and intense devotional service is the difference that is actually going to be able to capture Krishna within one's heart. So I was thinking today I would speak less. And I know there were some questions left from yesterday. So maybe if you have questions, then I'll open it up here. And then we'll see. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much for your class. The question is about the, when we talk about the casual and intense devotion, depending on the mood of like how, because we are doing active in our daily life.
Sorry, I couldn't hear that. We're doing
activities.
You can just speak, I'll repeat it. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you. So how do we bring intense devotional service when we're surrounded by so many duties? Does intense devotional service only occur when we're able to give up all of those things? Or is it that when we become intense, that's when we're supposed to give up everything? How does these two things work together? Well, you may notice that the wives of the yogic brahmanas had that intensity, and they were not renunciates. They were living in the household. They had their duties. The gopis were not renunciates. They were living in a household. They had their duties. Rupa and Sanatan, in the beginning, they were also not renunciates. But what did Mahaprabhu do? He sent them a cryptic verse when they wanted to run away. Pada vyasinini nari vyagrapi grihakarmashu tadeva svadayatyantar navasangara sayanam. He said, just like there is a lady, and a married lady who has another lover, then what does she do? Griha karma shu. She does all her activities at home even more attentively so that nobody will assume that her heart is in any other place. But what's she doing? Tadeva svad yayatyantar. Antar, inside, svad. She's constantly meditating on and relishing being with her lover. In other words, intensity is a very, very internal thing. And therefore, you can be intense in any situation of life. Yes, when you're living in the world, there are many distractions, there are many diversions. But if you know the art, then those distractions and diversions can actually fuel your dependence, fuel your desire to be with Krishna. And therefore, it's all about utilizing whatever situation one is in. When Ramananda Rai was speaking with Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu was asking him, what's the ultimate goal of life? And he kept saying answers. Mahaprabhu kept repeating, Eho bhaiya, age koho ar. That's external. Say something deeper. Say something deeper. And finally, when Ramananda Rai recited this verse, Gyane praya samudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manobir ye praya soj jita jitopyasite strilokyam. Ramananda Rai recited this verse, stane stita, just stay where you are. But van manobhir, shruti van manobhir, with your ears, with your speech, with all your faculties, try to constantly bring in a meditation on the Supreme Lord. That's already perfection. So one of the characteristics of unsteady devotional service is that we're constantly thinking that if I change my externals, then my internal will change. Now, while that could be true, in certain situations we have to change. Devotional service is apratihata, which means it's uninterrupted. And that means you should be able to do it in any situation of life. So what can you do? Wherever you are, it's like, you know, like sometimes you get stuck in a traffic jam. And now what we tend to do when we get stuck in a traffic jam is you go on the sat nav and you recalculate the route and you think you're smart and you're going to kind of circumvent all the traffic. And then what you do is you come off at the next exit and for about 1 mile it's like a free highway and you think, I'm ahead of the game. And then you get stuck, boom, in another traffic jam on the longer route. And you think, why didn't I just stay where I was, for God's sake? So we always think, I'm in a traffic jam, it's difficult, I wish it was like this, that person's life is better. Stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manobhir. So yes, there is some cases sometimes where it may be good to change your situation, but devotional service can't wait. And we have to find an intensity in our situation. So that everyone has to figure out for themselves how to do that. Do you want to respond to that? Okay.
Do we need to go to pain to really experience more intense devotional service? Do we really need the suffering to...
Do we need to go through pain to really experience intense devotional service? Probably. Are we going to generate that level of intensity just off our own back? Usually not. Krishna has to give us. So that's the material nature. Prabhupada once said, the job of Krishna and the job of Maya is the same. Really? Yes. Prabhupada said, Krishna comes in front of you and he holds out his arms and he says, come to the spiritual world. But if you refuse, then Krishna comes round the back as Maya and he gives you a big kick. Which way do you want to move? So it's up to us. Here Krishna goes out in the forest and he plays his flute. And if the cows don't come back, then Krishna blows his buffalo horn. And if the cows don't come back, then Krishna runs out with the stick. But one way or the other, the cows have to come home. So it's up to us. What we don't learn through hearing, we'll have to learn through the school of hard knocks. That's the way the world is. Thank you. Yes.
I've quoted it before.
I quoted about this before. It's a letter from Jayapataka Swami, December 19th, 1972. And in the letter, when I looked at it, but this is like a sutra, it says, the secret of surrendering to Krishna is that such a surrendered soul sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. Whatever I'm meant to be doing, let me do it with my full attention to every detail. Let me become absorbed in such service. Never mind what it is. Let all other considerations be forgotten. And my desire to do the thing best for Krishna's alone pleasure is my motive. And that reminds me of another verse that's in Bhagavad Gita 4:35. After having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will see that everything will never fall again into illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are part of the Supreme. Or in other words, they are mine. So, it's all Prabhupada, and it's... we should focus on whatever we're doing and make that our service at that time. Don't think about the future, don't think about the past.
Thank you so much. That quote is like your Mahavakya. From the very first day I came to the temple, Priyojan Prabhu has been quoting that verse. That letter. Thank you. Yes. Here, I think. Okay, yeah.
Maharaj, thank you for your class. Maharaj, how to kill anxiety and anxious who creates the lots of problem in your body? The best practice, please. Thank you.
They asked Prabhupada, what do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna? He said, I feel no fear. So where does bhayam or where does anxiety come from? Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesha tasya dishadape tasya vivarya yoshmiti tan maya yato bada abhajetam bhaktyaikayesham gurudeva tatma. Bhagavatam explains where bhayam comes from. The first problem is... Ishadapetasya, you turn away from Krishna. Krishna bahir mukha. Krishna is here, but then you look in the other way. Then what happens when you look away from Krishna? Dvitiya, you begin to see another reality separate from Krishna. And then what happens? Then maya yato. Then maya overcomes you. Boom. And then what happens? Bhayam. Fear. That's the basically how fear comes. When you turn away from Krishna, then you begin to see a reality separate from Krishna. Then what happens is maya overcomes you, and then you feel anxiety, fear, lamentation. So there's only one way to overcome your fear. You have to become abhaycharan, fearless, having taken shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So someone may say, oh, that's very good, but it's a bit impractical, isn't it? No, it's not impractical. The more you know, Krishna is my best friend, and Krishna is control of everything, why would you be fearful of anything? I have no problem. So that's a good combination. If you have a friend who's your best friend, and they're simultaneously in control of everything, that's a great combination. So we just have to develop that relationship with Krishna. And when that relationship is there, maro bhi rakho bhi jo icha tomar, kill me, maintain me, doesn't really matter, because I know you're always with me. So you can't shortcut it. You can't solve anxiety and problems with the same type of thinking that created them in the first place. You have to change your consciousness. We try artificial ways. Like a lady once came to a doctor and she said, "I've got a problem, I've got a problem, I've got a frog in my stomach. And it's alive." He said, "It's not possible, I'm a doctor, there can't be an alive frog in your stomach, you wouldn't be living." No, she said, "I know, there is, trust me." She's thinking, "Oh my God, what do I do with this?" He goes, "Okay, I'll give you some medicine." So he puts her under anesthetic. And then what does he do when she's sleeping? He goes down to the pond, he gets a frog. So then he comes back, she wakes up. He said, "You were right, here it is, I got it out now, you're fine." She says, "I feel so much better." So he thought, great. Then she comes back the next week, she goes, doctor, "I got a problem, there's a frog in my stomach." She said, "But," he said, "what, I took it out." He said, "Yeah, you took it out, but it laid eggs in there." So you can't solve it with an artificial. If you try to solve your anxiety in an artificial way, you'll simply perpetuate your anxiety. Bhayam dvitiya. When we see another reality separate from Krishna, then you will be fearful. But when you understand Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everywhere. Prahlad, right? He saw Krishna everywhere. No anxiety. Prahlad, weren't you scared when they threw you into a fire? Fire? My father is Vishnu. And the Yajna pit, the fire is the mouth of Vishnu, Yajna Vai Vishnu. So if you put me in the mouth of my father, you think he'll eat me? Wow. Prahlad, were you not scared when they fed you poison? Why? Because he said when the demons and the demigods churned the milk ocean, then Lakshmi came out. And then sometime later, there was also poison. That means poison and Lakshmi are brother and sister. And if Vishnu is my father, then that means poison is my uncle. So if you put me in contact with my uncle, do you think anything will happen to me? Wow. So like this, whatever, wherever he was seeing, Yo mam pasyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pasyati tasya aham na pranashyami sacha me na pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees me in everything, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So all anxiety comes when you see a separate reality from Krishna. Any other plan to solve anxiety will be temporary, ethereal.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much. You spoke about intense devotional service. Is that really sustainable? And how do you prevent burnout?
Find an intensity that suits your personality so you can maintain a consistency and that will awaken your purity. So you have to find an intensity that suits your personality. The way that the person sitting next to you will be intensely engaged in devotional service and the way you will be won't be the same. We burn out because we try to copy someone else's life. But when you find an intensity that suits your personality, then you'll be able to maintain consistency. And that consistency of intensity in your personality will awaken the purity.
And can that be intimidating to others?
Not if we can it be intimidating to others? What, your intensity? A devotee is intense on themselves, but very kind, very encouraging. Prabhupada was incredibly intense in his devotional service, but never intimidating. Isn't it? Like George Harrison says a beautiful thing about Prabhupada. He said, "What I appreciated about Prabhupada was that his greatness never made you feel small." I thought that was such a nice reflection. When someone is great, when someone is deep, when someone is so profoundly spiritually connected, but they never make anyone else feel small or they never make anyone else feel insignificant, but rather their presence makes people feel that they can be amazing, they can also be great. That's a Vaishnav. They said there were two British prime ministers, Gladstone and Disraeli. And they said, when you went into the room with Gladstone, then you came out of the room thinking, great leader. But when you came out of the room with Disraeli, you thought, great leader, and maybe I could do it also. And they say that's the difference between a good leader and a great leader. A great leader actually makes people, by their presence, feel they can also be great, greater than them. So your intensity shouldn't be intimidating, it should be inspiring. It becomes intimidating when we exude a type of intensity whereby we project that on others. Some thoughts.
Okay.
Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. It's more of a personal question. How does someone keep their faith and believe in Krishna consciousness going when you, most probably more of a personal question, you have met a lot of disappointment over the time, over the years, one after another, whether that is a personal disappointment or maybe your loved one had let you down on a serious level, and how you almost feel sometimes demotivated or demoralized, thinking, I'm doing all this stuff, but seems to be a lot of disappointment in life, and it does not stop. And where do you go from there?
Thank you. Yes, the world never lives up to our expectations. There's always a gap between our expectation and the reality. See, the world is perfectly imperfect. You can never understand the workings of the world unless you understand the purpose of the world. See, this is the point. If you don't understand the purpose of the world, then the workings of the world will confuse you. But when you understand the purpose of the world is to get you out of this world. The purpose of the world is to make us realize we're not meant to be here. The purpose of the world is meant to cement, without a shadow of the doubt, that I have no more hopes for happiness here. And then we realize, oh, that's why it's disappointing. That's why it's frustrating. That's why it never works out according to how I wanted it to work out. Because it's perfectly imperfect. Om Purnam Adapurnamidam Purna Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasheshyate. See, Krishna is the perfect and complete, and everything which emanates from Krishna is also perfect and complete, the living entities and even the material manifestation. So this world is perfect, perfectly imperfect. You can't go into a jail and then say, God, there's some problem here, the door's jammed. Bring the engineer, bring some, you know, the door's jammed here. I know. Where's the menu? No one's bringing a menu, there must be a problem here. No, you're in jail, Baba. Yeah, it's like that. So unless we understand the purpose of the world, necessarily you'll be confused by the world. And that's why people go around, they have no idea. Why do bad things happen to good people? That's the whole point. We're not meant to be here. That's why transcendental knowledge is so important. Tasma dagyana sambhutam ritstam jnana sinatmana. You have to take the sword of knowledge, and that will cut all the doubts. All right.
Hare Krishna. So relating to your talk, did Mahaprabhu meet with the king in the end? And
Stay tuned.
If so, how does that reconcile?
Well, he's already predicted here. Nityananda Prabhu has already predicted. The king is very much attached to you and you are feeling affection and love toward him. Thus I can understand that by virtue of the king's affection for you, you will touch him. So yes, Mahaprabhu eventually meets him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, they know how to expertly churn our emotions. So sometimes Krishna appears, sometimes Krishna disappears. Sometimes Krishna seems close, sometimes Krishna seems a little far. Sometimes Krishna appears, and then sometimes Krishna just seems to be totally absent. And all of that Krishna does to increase our desire, increase our greed, increase our desperation. So ultimately through all of this, the internal reason, yes, I'm a sannyasi, I shouldn't meet kings, yes, I'll get criticized, these are all external reasons. Internally, Krishna is doing it just to increase the love. See, so externally something is going on, internally something different is going on. Even sometimes people think, why did Ram banish Sita? But what they don't understand, they say, no, because Ram is exemplary, maryad, he had to show the example, uphold his integrity. Actually, that's just the external reason. The internal reason is that there was a separation. And separation brings a closer meeting of the hearts. And so Krishna, as Ram, wanted to also increase that mood of separation in which love is exchanged in an intense way. So prema, the river of prema, is moving along two banks. One bank is known as sambhoga, meeting, and the other bank is known as vipralamba, or separation. And so Mahaprabhu is placing Patraparudra on the bank of separation, and eventually it will come to the bank of meeting, because prema must flow between these two banks. So it's all Mahaprabhu's plan. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, sure.
It's from Shakespeare. It says, our doubts, they are traitors. They cause us to lose that good we may achieve by trying.
Our doubts are our traitors.
They cause us to lose that good we may achieve by trying. Just carry on. A class of your Guru Maharaj, he said, just carry on. Yes. Just carry on. Just carry on. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yes. Yes, Krishna says that, no, in the Gita. What is that verse? I forgot it now. It will come to me in a minute. Was there another question? Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for the class. When we talk about serving, we can also think about serving like the people around us and serving people that are close to us. When we're faced with situations where we feel like we're out of our capacity, but we know we shouldn't give up, what do we do? Like if we feel like we need to serve people around us, but it's out of our capacity, but we know giving up's not the right thing to do with fellow devotees or family, etc. Mm-hmm. How can we face these situations and serve in a better way, even if we feel
so
like...
So we're trying to serve the Vaishnavas, serve the mission, but at one point we think, I'm out of my depth here. It's too much, too hard, too difficult. But at the same time, we don't want to give up. But at the same time, we don't know how to actually do it because we don't have the capacity. Krishna just wants to see that you're trying your best. So honesty is very, very important. If one feels that they've come to a point where they're trying their best, but they can't manage it, then one should not, out of ego or some kind of thing, just try to keep pushing through, because that could end up being detrimental. So if you come to a point where you feel you've come to your limit and you can't do much more in this service, then speak to the Vaishnavas. Then speak to the Vaishnavas, get guidance. Krishna doesn't want you to torture yourself. Krishna is just trying to bring out the best in you. And so that's why we always have others around us who can help us to understand at what point endeavor becomes over-endeavor. So there will be classic signs that it's the cut-off point now. It's becoming over-endeavor. If your physical health is dropping, if your mental health is dropping, if your relationships are dropping, if your spiritual inspiration is dropping, if you feel that your service is becoming so much of a burden, then it's not a good sign. So devotional service is joyful, it's joyfully performed. And yes, there will be times when you have to push through and dig a little deep. But if it's perpetually like that, then something may need to change. So Prabhupada also writes a letter. Is Sandy here? Sandy here? You know that, what's that letter? You know that one you read? Don't try something. He's got a good letter. Prabhupada says, don't try something, right? So don't try something so difficult you can't achieve it, and then let's see if he pulls it up. But yeah, Prabhupada also makes this point to devotees that you shouldn't lose your spiritual status in trying to achieve something which is perhaps beyond your capacity, like that. All right, any last question? Okay, maybe last one. If you find it, you find it.
Hare Krishna. My question is, how can one understand what their true nature is and when they're making excuses?
Excuses,
like, so we were saying about knowing your intensity, say, with your devotional service. Like, how can we actually understand what our nature is, or when at certain moments we're like making excuses for endeavoring further with our spiritual life or like with our service or something? Does that make sense?
I understand your first question. I'm just trying to understand what you mean by making excuses.
Like, so like, how could you? Yeah, like, I don't know how to reword it. I guess so, yeah. But it's not even like a conscious thing. You're just making excuses and not like pushing yourself further when you probably could.
Because you're
could.
Saying it's not my nature.
Yeah, like that.
Okay. We need someone to wash the pots. Sorry, not my nature. You see, in Krishna consciousness, we're doing different types of things. We're doing services that are our nature. We're also doing services that are needed. And we're also sometimes doing services which are purposefully difficult so that we develop a reliance on Krishna. So the entirety of your spiritual life shouldn't just be, I need to be in my dharma, I need to do my dharma. Yes, your dharma is there, it's the core. But around that, there's a lot of flexibility, there's a lot of willingness, there's a lot of openness to engage in different things which will nurture your spiritual life in a different way. Remember, dharma is not the goal. Because Krishna says, sarva dharman parityaja. That doesn't mean you become adharmic. Krishna is not saying, give up dharma and become adharmic. No, Krishna is saying, give up dharma and become padadharmic. Embrace bhakti. So start from a position of strength, embrace your dharma, and be willing and open to do other things which stretch you, beyond your dharma, which you do out of service attitude, which you do because they're needed, where you put your own desires and wants to one side. And then gradually what will happen is that more than your dharma, what will become prominent is bhakti. Prabhupada says, when you're in love, when a boy and girl are in love, then it doesn't matter where they are and where they go. They could go to the cinema, they could go to the park, they could go to Thought Park. I was driving past Thought Park the other day. You could go anywhere, but it doesn't really matter where they are. What's the most important thing? That they're together. Come on, you know you want it to be romantic. The most important thing is that they're together. The others, what the activity is, doesn't matter so much. So that's bhakti. That's where we're trying to get with Krishna. But in the beginning, we embrace dharma. But don't be limited by dharma. Don't let dharma also become your prison, because there's a world outside of dharma, and that's the world of love, bhakti. Okay. Does that help? Okay. So just this last thing, and then I'll let you all go. And so there's a letter to Tejas Prabhu. I'm very much disturbed to hear that you have become disturbed in your mind. Do not be disturbed. There is no cause for anxiety. You are doing your best to serve Krishna. That is very much appreciated. So do not lose enthusiasm out of frustration. That will spoil everything. Krishna consciousness means we should always be satisfied and happy. Not that we must work something impossible, become overburdened, and then, because we are unhappy by so much trouble, we lose enthusiasm altogether and give up all hope. No, if too much endeavor is there, that is to be avoided. By all means, we must preserve our spiritual status. That is the point. Not that we are mad after big buildings, many devotees, life members, this, that. No, these are only ways to engage the devotees, so that they may apply the principles of devotional living to some kind of work for practical realization of these principles. It is not the result of the work we want. If only one person daily, this is nice, if only one person daily, if we sincerely preach to one person in a day, that is sufficient. Never mind big, big programs. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.